For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, Los Angeles? Welcome to the LA Football Show. Here on the LA Football Network, live on a Monday, pumped to be doing this. We're two segments down, Rams at 6, Chargers at 6:30. Now it's your Trojans huddle at 7 o'clock here in Los Angeles as we dissect and talk all about our USC Trojans. I'm Ryan Dyra, joined as always by the madman, Mr. Jamal Madney. What's up, brother? How we doing? Excited to talk Trojans with you.
Doing well, brother. Excited to talk Trojans on this Monday night and just getting a kick out of this new format here, going live every Monday. This is going to be so fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Hopefully get all our fans engaged. If we want to call them, maybe not fans of us, but fans of the Trojans engaged and giving us questions, and we can chat with you guys. What up, Donnell Smith? Thanks for jumping in. And yeah, it's just going to be a fun thing every Monday if things go well. Well, obviously, no matter what, we're still going to be doing our regular recorded show on Thursday. But if things go well, maybe we'll just push and just go live all the time and hang out with you guys. So as we do this for the next 30 minutes, drop any questions you got. You know, obviously not a lot of news going on with our Trojans right now, but, you know, there's still stuff to talk about. We've had a lot of fun with this team. And ever since Lincoln Riley got here, I think there's a lot to be excited about. Before we get into all that, show is always brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. Head to betonline.ag today. Use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's free money. Go play with. Might as well do it. BetOnline.ag. Tell them the guys at the LA Football Network sent you. So, first of all, Jamal, before we get going, how are you enjoying this LA sunshine? Feels like it's been a long time, and I felt some warmth today in the sun.
Oh, for sure. My goodness. It's it was crazy. I went to work today, Ryan, and I think the sunshine has shocked people in a way where I went to work, and I have my usual parking spot, and someone was in my spot. They and no one got the spots right today in the parking lot. No. It was crazy. So I had to park somewhere else, and I think everyone is just stunned that it was just such clarity in the sun. I mean, finally, LA is starting to behave like LA. So, you know, that's always exciting.
I can't remember if I've asked you this before, but have you seen the movie Joe Somebody with Tim Allen?
Yeah.
The whole, like, they're going to fight because of a parking spot?
Yes, absolutely.
Did that go through your mind when you, like, pulled up?
It did. You know, you'll be surprised. You get very attached to a parking spot once you're sort of used to it. And, you know, because you're on autopilot at that point in the day, because you're just like, hey, I'm getting into work. And it's like, you know, you've got your routine. You know exactly, like, what time to leave, what time to get there, how to make the left turns, how to get in there, how to walk, you know, straight line into your office to make it to a certain time. So, you know, anything that sort of, you know, disrupts that autopilot rhythm, you're like, I mean, what the hell's going on? You know? So yes, it was a little bit of a jarring start to the day.
Oh man, I can't imagine. Not that I've ever had a spot. So, I mean, I never know how much you want me to divulge, because I don't want to step over anything, but when you got your new job promotion and you told me, I don't think you didn't do it like, oh, look at me. It just kind of came up in the conversation that you got your own parking spot. And to me, that is like supremacy at the job level. When you have a parking spot, like, you've made it. So congrats. And then someone stole that from you today. So I apologize.
Yeah, no,
I'll start to Monday.
Difficult day, you know, first world problems. Right. So yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, let's be real. I think Caleb Williams probably has a parking spot on.
Yeah. Oh, no. Caleb Williams has a whole section of the campus. Okay. Because you got to understand, I mean, just think about the basketball team 3 years ago. And, you know, we gave not only Evan Mobley, you know, kind of carte blanche to do whatever he wanted, We gave Isaiah Mobley carte blanche to do whatever he wanted. And we gave their dad a coaching job. So, you know, and that was for Evan Mobley, you know, and then SC gave rings to all the players for making an Elite Eight. So you can imagine, you know, that's the second order sport of basketball. You can understand what Mr. Heisman is getting at USC. I mean, he's basically, I think we should start calling him President Williams. I think Carol Folt would be fine with that for a year.
I think so. I think that we've done our last few shows kind of about how we can enhance the game day experience. And I think it's just let Caleb decide. Like, let's just talk to maybe not even President Williams, maybe just King Caleb. Either one.
King Caleb. There it is. KC. That rolls off the tongue.
KC. Either one works. So, well, I mean, to start off, and that's a good segue, I guess. So one of the newest transfers, Dorian Singer, who I think we both were, but I for sure was, I think that was such a huge, huge transfer in from the USA. Dude that had, what, 3 touchdowns against US last year down in the desert. Now he's on the good side on our team. And it's, I don't know if it's getting talked about enough nationally, but maybe it is. But I know certainly we believe that it was just such a big thing. And, you know, he has come out since spring practices have begun. And, you know, a lot of guys will say this on their new team because they're, you know, they're trying to talk about being happy in the new place. But he was very poignant in saying, like, hey, it's just, it feels like a different level here when it comes to this receiver room. The talent that we have stacked up, and obviously iron sharps an iron. It's each guy's going to build off each other, become better based on that competition. It helps when you have a guy like Caleb throwing the ball. That's no disrespect to Delora down in Arizona, but I think we all agree Caleb's probably a better thrower and just overall quarterback than Delora down there. But just the amount of talent in the room, he talked about it just being a different level. So your thoughts on that? It's no surprise, but just, I think, what does that show where this team is heading into this new season?
Well, I think, Ryan, it's great to hear Dorian Singer say that, because I think when you acknowledge that, what you're saying is, A, I'm very happy where I am because I made the right decision, but B, you're also acknowledging that I have to be on my P's and Q's, and this program and this receiving room is going to take my game to the next level and really elevate me and push me the right way. I mean, when you look at this receiving room, Ryan, the fact that they lost Jordan Addison and Kyle Ford, arguably the two best sort of physical receivers on the team, and you come back with Dorian Singer, Taj Washington, Brennan Rice, Zakaria Branch, Makai Lemon, I mean, and the list goes on and on. I mean, it's staggering what USC is bringing to the table yet again at the wide receiver position. And this is really, I think, a tradition that has begun truly since Robert Woods. I mean, we had Mike Will, in the Carson year and the first Matt Leinart year, and then obviously Colbert and Steve Smith and all of those guys. But, you know, then there was sort of a period where SC actually didn't really have many good receivers. I mean, if you look at the John David Booty years, and then the Mark Sanchez year, and then that first year with Matt Barkley, there really wasn't a lot in the receiving room. Now, sanctions had something to do with that, of course. But then when you went from Woods to Lee to Aguilar to Juju and just on and on the list we go, I mean, it's just staggering what USC is bringing to the table at the wide receiver position. And now when you overlay that with Lincoln Riley and everything that he brings with his pass offense, it's just absolutely frightening. This team, yet again, is going to be far and away the most talented team at the skill positions in the Pac-12. And I don't think that's really even close.
This might be a ludicrous question, and maybe it's just because we're at the end of March in the offseason and there's not a whole hell of a lot more to talk about. So you could call me out on that, Jamal, if you want, or anyone listening can call me out. But obviously we know the talent from last year, and you just alluded to who's leaving. Jordan Addison, who might end up being the first receiver taken in this year's NFL draft. We know how special he was in the 1 year he was here. Even being hurt, we could see what he brought to this offense in terms of playmaking ability, in terms of route running, even some leadership there. And Kyle Ford, obviously, with the size and the skill set, and maybe underutilized a lot of the time, but when utilized, definitely showed in spades how important he was. But then you lose those two guys. You get Mario Williams back, who guy is getting so little talk about. Mario Williams, who was like the hot transfer.
You know, I mean, that's the crazy part. It's ridiculous. He might, end up beating out Singer and being wide receiver one statistically this year. I mean, he's got that talent.
Yeah. So when you see him, who transferred over, obviously, I say obviously way too much. You need to call me out on that. I feel like I say obviously a hell of a lot. So, but you see him transfer over with Caleb Williams. You get then the transfer of Dorian Singer. You have the returning of Taj Washington among the returning of Brendan Rice, who had his coming out party at the end of the year. You also get then Mekhi Lemon as the one of the number one recruited wide receivers in the land, who I'm also drawing a blank right now. Please forgive me on the other Zakaria. Number one recruit.
Yeah,
thank
Zakaria
you.
Zakaria Branch. Yep.
Zakaria Branch. Thank you. So is it crazy to think this wide receiver room is actually better this year than it was last year, even with losing arguably the number one receiver in the NFL draft?
It's deeper. It's definitely deeper. I think the question is going to be, are they as good at the very top? And I think that, you know, that yeah. true number one and for, I think as great as Singer was at Arizona, I don't think he's quite Jordan Addison. And when you're talking about an embarrassment of riches here, when you're saying, hey, wide receiver one last year was Jordan Addison. The year before was Drake London. The year before was Michael Pittman Jr. The year before was Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous who the wide receiver ones of this team and this program have been over the years. So obviously, I think depth-wise, you know, USC's seventh best wide receiver, you know, God forbid with injuries, could come in and be a wide receiver two or three in the blink of an eye. That's not going to be a problem. The question is, when moments get difficult, when it's third and 18 on the road, when it's last drive at Oregon State, when it's going shot for shot with UCLA, when it's having to battle Bo Nix and Oregon, when it's having to go, you know, blow for blow with Penix Jr. and Washington, and you really need a play, who's going to be that wide receiver one? Because it was obvious that was Jordan Addison. One of the things that I think was lost in that regular season game against Utah, so much was made about the Dalton Kincaid game, and rightfully so, with the 234 yards receiving and just what an abomination Alex Grinch's defense was. But what got lost was Jordan Addison getting hurt late in that game and how that impacted the last two possessions, particularly that last possession when SC had the ball with about 28 seconds to go down one and you felt like they were going to move it down and kick the field goal. Frankly, if Addison was on the field, there was a very real possibility they would have been able to move it down and get the field goal. But in that key situation, Caleb just didn't have his number one guy. And so I think that's going to be the key for me, is obviously the depth galore. You can only play five of them at once, so I'm not worried about the depth. The question is going to be, can Singer take that mantle? Because I think for as great as Mario Williams is, given his size, given his stature, he's really more of a speed specialist. Same thing with Taj Washington. You know, he's smaller. He did an immensely great job with the blocking game and kind of filling in as being a wide receiver one on a game-by-game basis. But in terms of body of work for a season, have a hard time believing a college football playoff caliber team can have Taj Washington as their number one receiver. That just feels it's a little light. So it's going to have to be Singer, or it's going to have to be one of these freshmen that just come kind of burst on the scene. And for as great as freshmen have been in the past, that's sort of a hard ask, especially that first four or five games of the season. There is an adjustment period. So it really is Singer's show to be that wide receiver one. And I think that's going to be the big question for me. But depth-wise, this is arguably the deepest the Trojans have ever been at wide receiver. And that includes 2019 when they had 400-yard receivers against UCLA. But that was still only four guys. This is seven guys. You know, it's almost double.
Yeah, the depth is crazy. And, no, I completely agree. And I think Singer probably will be wide receiver one. Not that it really matters at the end of the day, obviously. But let me ask you this. And maybe the sample size is small, and really he did not come into his own until down the stretch, and specifically in the bowl game against a lesser defensive opponent. Now, we know that Tulane won the game, so they were the better team, but defensively I think they were lesser than some of the other teams that this USC Trojans team had played. But Brendan Rice absolutely not only balled out in that game, but down the stretch just got stronger and stronger. His whole thing, Jamal, as you know, all year was the drops. Like he was always open. It seemed like his route running was good. He's big, he's physical, but he had an issue with drops in key moments. And he kind of, exercise those demons, if you will, in the Notre Dame game, in the Utah game, and especially in the Tulane game, when, as you alluded to, who's going to be that guy to have those fourth down, those third and 18 conversions? And against Tulane, Brendan Rice had some of the best highlights we've seen from a receiver in the last 5 years in what he's done. So is there an argument to be made that maybe Brendan Rice is wide receiver one next year?
There certainly is an argument. I mean, the way he played in that bowl game, and if he builds on that in the offseason, I think it's going to be a real battle between him and Singer. I think I need to see just a little bit more. That game was such an anomaly in so many ways, Ryan, because obviously they were without Addison. You know, they were without Voorhees. They were without two linemen. Caleb himself was sort of hobbling. They were sort of doing things that they naturally wouldn't do. I mean, you know, Caleb kind of threw a couple jump balls there, you know, in the middle of that game. He was kind of like, well, it's either going to get picked or someone's going to catch it. And Rice was spectacular and caught it. So to me, take nothing away from Brendan Rice. I think he's starting to really sort of emerge into his own. But I got to see it a little bit more. I got to see it those first couple games in September to have some games put together. But I think he's more than capable of it. And that's what's so scary about this team. I mean, you line up with these guys. I mean, you know, you're in a situation here, Ryan, where when you look at athlete-wise and Zakaria and Makai and Mario and Taj, I mean, you know, you're arguing that Singer might be the fifth best athlete on this team. And Brendan Rice is the sixth best athlete in this receiving room. I mean, can you imagine athletically, you know, you're going to have a fifth corner. You got a nickel corner that's going to have to play one of these guys at some point. I mean, it's a frightening proposition where if you don't bring pressure, if you don't have pressure in the front four and in the front seven, I mean, you just have no shot against this team, as was the case last year. The only teams that really had any chance were the teams that could just kind of score with SC or get the kind of the timely stop when they needed to, but they had to kind of keep scoring to wait for that time to stop.
Yeah, totally. So I'll say this, then we'll move on. At this point, they don't have the same top-line talent. Addison is league in zone, but just if we look at, if I'm going to just say better receiver room moving forward, I'm going to say this current room, just because of everything we talked about and the fact that you could literally have your four receivers on the field and not even that doesn't even include Lemon or Branch, who are the top two receivers in the country in this recruiting class, and they're not even on the field, and you have four above them. So I think the future is so bright, as it should be, with this team and with Lincoln Riley at the helm and with a quarterback like Caleb and you know, the quarterback in waiting as well in Malachi. So a lot of excitement there. So let's shift, skipping on offense, but let's shift to running backs, because you know, there's been a lot of talk about, which we'll do. I'm not USC fans, I want to hear this, but we'll do on our next segment for UCLA. But there's been a lot of talk about the UCLA running room and kind of how much they've been able to build through the transfer portal with the loss of Zach Charbonnet. USC losing Travis Dye, they obviously lost him late in the year to injury. They're bringing back Austin Jones, who really had to, he had a really solid season. And then when he had to be the prime back by himself, had some really solid games. Unfortunately, one of those was not the bowl game or against Utah when it mattered most. But they bring in a guy in Marshawn who's going to just be Marshawn Lloyd, who I think is going to be a tremendous asset. And what we wanted to talk about, Jamal, we talked a little before we started, is both he and Caleb from the DMV, from similar areas, rival high schools. And it's like Caleb kind of recruited him here like, hey, let's go get this national championship, go to the league and see what can happen. But I think it's exciting when you start seeing guys from the same area that want to play together, because they know how special they can be. And Lloyd is another guy. We talk about Dorian Singer maybe not getting talked about nationally as such a huge recruit. Jameel Muhammad, who we talk about on defense, not being talked about nationally. Marshawn Lloyd's another guy that's really not getting a lot of chatter about being such a huge recruit. And he may be the best back on this team.
No doubt about it, Ryan. And, you know, he and Caleb kind of go back, being from that DMV area in high school, in, you know, sort of peewee all the way down. Always seem to be, according to Marshawn, on opposite teams. And, you know, as expected, his team could never stop Caleb. But on the flip side, Caleb's team could never stop Marshawn in terms of running the ball. So the fact that they're now finally on the same team together, and Marshawn talked a lot about the conversations he and Caleb had. And Caleb said, listen, you know, we get to be on the same team finally after all these years. And let's go win an Addy together. Let's go win a national championship together. And then let's go to the league together. And, you know, two guys from the same area to be able to do that. And I think that's going to speak wonders, Ryan, in the season in terms of that trust factor of having a guy that he knows so well in the backfield with him. I think one of the things that made USC very special over the course of last season was the trust that not only Caleb, but the coaching staff had with Travis Dye. You and I have kind of talked a lot about it over the last few months that Travis Dye in many ways kind of played that Marshall Faulk role of this kind of greatest show on turf variant that Lincoln Riley's offense is when you talk about his ability to catch out of the backfield, block, run, do all of these things. And so he was just such a vital piece to the offense, you know, arguably the most valuable player offensively outside of Caleb Williams to the Trojans attack in 22, that I think Marshawn Lloyd has the ability to do that. He's got way more burst than Travis Dye, maybe not quite as versatile in terms of being able to do all the different things, but I think it's an athletic upgrade. And he was someone who had, you know, pretty significant burst and pretty significant yards per carry in his 1 year in South Carolina. And I think this is going to be quite the marriage in heaven here. I think Lloyd kind of gives that burst, and Austin Jones remains and kind of stays that hammer. So you still have that thunder and lightning combination whenever you need it. And then, you know, you put that together with this plethora of wide receivers, and it's going to be another year where the Trojans are averaging, you know, between 42 and 45 a game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, and this is taking nothing away from Austin Jones, but I think what's so exciting about this Lloyd transfer is that he adds that burst and lightning quickness, but he's also almost 20 pounds heavier than Austin Jones. So he could be the hammer too, if you really need him to.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude, just like Austin Jones, they both average 5.2 yards per carry. Jones with 5 touchdowns, Lloyd brings 9 touchdowns on the ground. So he brings that. If you need that goal line guy, you have two guys now. I mean, they could run rhino packages with both if you need. And then you have some of the younger backs that can be your true Travis Dye, Reggie Bush type lightning guys. But you have, I mean, Marshawn Lloyd is truly a three down back. Not that Austin Jones isn't, but Lloyd is a true three down back, can do it all. And so I think he brings an element that last year, and I say this probably too much, but I'm never trying to throw shade or disrespect to these players because of how hard they play, but he brings an element that last year this offense was trying to do with 2 to 3 different players. And now he brings it into one package because he can do it all. He has your speed. He has your quickness. He has your power if you need it. He has your size. He can catch out of the backfield. So you don't have to necessarily diversify with 3 different backs like they did sometimes last year. You can do it all with one. And then guess what? You have those other backs as well to give you depth, to give you rest, to give you, you know, in those Utah type dogfights when you need every single person on the roster to be contributing. Well, now you have that, but you have the one guy that can lead the way for an entire half or in that last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, but you can kind of switch it up. You're not being like, okay, situationally, this is our guy. Situationally, this is our guy. He can do it all, which is, I think, what makes him so special.
Yeah, Ryan, I think that's spot on. And I think that's an interesting variant of the Lincoln Riley offense. And I think where Riley's offense is different is he uses a lot of different wide receivers that we've seen. He loves wide receiver variety, but he actually doesn't like running back variety. He likes having the cowbell. Even if you go back to his days at Oklahoma, there was always kind of a feature lead back very clearly in the pecking order.
Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine.
Exactly. And so he's always, I think he's a firm believer in backs get better with more touches. When they get, you know, more lather, they sort of see the field better. They get into more of a rhythm. And so, I mean, clearly Dye was that. I mean, we rarely saw Austin Jones on the field. It was one of the reasons where the game against Colorado, when Travis Dye got hurt, it really was a situation where he went probably 9 out of 11 plays, I remember, out of the second half exclusively to Austin Jones to kind of get him lathered up and give him the experience of what it's going to be like to be USC's number one running back going into that UCLA game, if you recall. And so he's very big on, you know, having that feature back. And I think Marshawn Lloyd's going to be that guy again. I think Austin Jones will come in blowout situations, in certain package situations. God forbid if there's an injury. I think we know we've got a very serviceable second running back in Austin Jones. But I fully expect Marshawn Lloyd to lead this team in carries and yards and rushing touchdowns this season as that feature back. And I think that's something that Lincoln Riley would really want. I think success, I think for USC on offense looks like if Dorian Singer is clearly wide receiver number one and leads this team in receptions, yards, and touchdowns, and Marshawn Lloyd is clearly running back number one and leads this team in attempts, yards, and touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree. So those are great points, and one we'll probably expand on more. And I think next episode, Jamal, this was obviously offensive heavy. We'll dive into the defense later in this week, but that's all the time we got for the Trojan Huddle here on the LA Football Network live on a Monday. Thank you all for hanging out with us, tuning in every Monday at 7. We will be here talking Trojans football, and then our pre-recorded podcast will come out Thursdays and Fridays as usual, and we'll be live on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio Fridays between 5 and 7 as well. So you can catch it there as well. So thank you all, guys, for hanging out with us, dropping some comments, dropping some fight-ons. And for Jamal and Maddie, I'm Ryan Dyer. We'll talk to you all here in a couple days. Everyone be well.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.